ಅದೇ ಕರೆ ನೀರು ಒಳ್ಳೆ
ಓಂ ಸಹನಾಭವತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ 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 ಓಂ ಸಮಸ್ತ ಜನ ಕಲ್ಯಾಣೇ ನಿರತಂ ಕರುಣಾಮಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಚಿನ್ಮಯಂ ದೇವಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವಿದ್ವರಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವಿದ್ವರಂ ಓಂ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬೋಧಿತಾಂ ಭಗವತಾ ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಗ್ರಥಿತಾಂ ಪುರಾಣಮುನಿನಾ ಮಧ್ಯೆ ಮಹಾಭಾರತಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಮೃತವರ್ಷಿಣೀ ಭಗವತೀ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯನಿ ಅಂಬ ತ್ವಾಮನುಸಂದಧಾಮಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೆ ಭವದ್ವೇಷಿಣೀ ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವರುಣೇಂದ್ರರುದ್ರಮರುತಃ ಸ್ತುನ್ವಂತಿ ದಿವ್ಯೈಸ್ತವೈ ವೇದೈ ಸಾಂಗಪದಕ್ರಮೋಪನಿಷದೈ ಗಾಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಸಾಮಗಾ ಧ್ಯಾನಾವಸ್ಥಿತತದ್ಗತೇನ ಮನಸಾ ಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನಃ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂತಂ ನ ವಿದುತ್ಸುರಾಸುರಗಣಾ ದೇವಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಃ ದೇವಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗಣೇಶಾಯ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಸರಸ್ವತ್ಯೈ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ So in this fifth chapter, last week we had talked about how the wise person, the man of wisdom, how that person functions in the world. In shloka number 13, that this individual, this Dehi, lives in this body of nine gates, but detached from all the activities of the body, mind, intellect, connected with the self, and naiva kurvan nakaryan. He says, I don't do anything and I don't cause anything to be done because I am the Atma, the self, and this body, mind, intellect, they work based on their abilities, based on their nature. And the 14th and 15th verse talks about Bhagwan, how the Lord functions. And it says that the Lord does not have any doership, does not do any karmas, and does not even give the results of the karma, but just watches, is supporting everything, but without himself getting involved. And swabhava, and our nature is what functions, what does everything. And the karma phala comes to us automatically based on our karmas. We have talked about the chit that is there in our subtle body, which records all our karmas. And in the 15th shloka, Bhagavan says that this Supreme Lord, again, does not take the sins or merits of any individual, because the consciousness within is not involved whether I do good or bad actions, but swabhava, it is my nature, prakriti, which is doing all actions. So the idea is that because this is a chapter about sannyas, how one can remain detached and still do all activities. And we'll continue that similar idea in the 16th, 17th, and 18th verse. So, chapter 5, number 16. You don't have the book, Komal, you can borrow. No problem. Chapter 5, number 16. Jnane na tu tadag jnanam. Yesham nashitam atmanah. Tesham aditya vat jnanam.
Tesham aditya vat jnanam.
Prakashayati tat param.
Prakashayati tat param.
Together. Jnane na tu tadag jnanam. Esham nashitam atmanah. Tesham aditya vat jnanam. Prakashayati tat param. So Bhagwan is talking about knowledge and ignorance. And he says, this jnanena, with knowledge, this ajnanam, this with ignorance, yesham nashitam atmanaha. So those who have the knowledge of the self, atmanaha, their ignorance gets destroyed by knowledge of this person. How? Of tesham aditya vat jnanam. The knowledge which is like the sun, prakashayati tat param, reveals the infinite, the supreme. So these people who have got knowledge of the self, who am I, then that ignorance is destroyed completely, just as the sun destroys darkness and reveals itself. Same way, the Atma, the Bhagwan, reveals himself when the ignorance is destroyed. So prakashayati illumines. So what it means is that it is this consciousness that illumines everything in this world. If I'm able to walk, talk, see, hear, smell, taste, touch, it is because of the presence of consciousness. My body, my senses, my mind, my intellect, all function because of the presence of the self. And it is like I don't know nuclear physics. And then I go to college and I study nuclear physics. I do my bachelor's and master's. Then that knowledge reveals to me what nuclear physics is and removes my ignorance. So similarly, the knowledge of who am I reveals the ignorance. Because right now we think we are this body, mind, and intellect. And we function, we are the perceiver, feeler, and thinker. And we function in the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts because of vasanas. So the entire Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, the main message of that is, who am I? Who am I really? Am I only this body? Or I am Om? Am I the Atma, the consciousness? In Kerala, they have a very cute custom where a person who, say, is ignorant of this spiritual knowledge, they will put a blindfold upon his eyes and take him to a room and they say, have you seen God? He says, no, I haven't seen God. Would you like to see God? Oh yeah, of course I would like to see God. So they take him in the room and there is a mirror beautifully decorated with flowers. And they open his blindfold and they say, look, there is God. The idea being that when you look in the mirror and you see yourself, you are actually seeing that divinity. But we all only think, I am this body, I need to comb my hair, I need to do this, I need to do that. But the real knowledge is when I know who I really am, who am I. And not knowing all these things leads to conflict. Because if I think I am this individual perceiver, feeler, and thinker, then there are other individuals who are also perceiver, feeler, thinker. that I am this body, there are other bodies, and they all are don't agree with me. I like them, I don't like them. And so that leads to conflict. Conflict, you know, not only in the world, but conflict even in the society, in the community, even in the family. So there was one priest who made some little crosses. And he said, you know, when the congregation was assembled, he said, each one, I'll give you a little cross, and you hang it in the room where there is maximum conflict in your house. Where is it that people fight the maximum? Hang it there. And whenever you are in the middle of a fight, you will see that cross, and that will remind you of God, will remind you of Jesus, and your fight will get less. So put it in the room where you have most conflict. So this old lady says, Father, can I have five? Every room of her house is full of conflicts. And that is how we are. We look for fights. We look for conflicts everywhere. Why do we look for happiness outside, even though the happiness consciousness is within? So in the Upanishad, it is said very beautifully, Paramchi khani vyatrinat svayambhu tasmat paran pashyati na antaratmana kaschid dhira atmani vekshat avrita chakshu amritatvam ichchant. So he says, Kathopanishad says that Bhagavan, the Brahmaji, the creator, has made senses to look outside. Eyes look at objects, ears sounds, nose smell, tongue taste, and so on. And so they all look all the time outside. But kaschid dhira, but there is a rare wise person who understands that true happiness is within. Avrita chakshu, so his eyes, which are running outside, he turns them inward. The senses, the mind, the intellect, the mind which is running into emotions, the intellect is running into ideas. So he turns the attention of his senses, mind, and intellect inward. Amritatvam ichchan, looking for happiness within, understanding that happiness is within. And not understanding that, we think that by fixing things in the world, I'll be happy. It's like, you know, I see a lot of smoke in a room. So I say, oh, let me bring a fan and blow out the smoke. I keep blowing out the smoke. It's never ending. Why? Because there's a fire in the room. So instead of trying to put out the fire, I'm trying to blow out the smoke, thinking that that way, it's not going to happen. So you and I are like that in this world. We think that by fixing the objects, you know, emotions, thoughts in the world, I will experience that inner joy. So they say you have to go to the source of the problem, just as you have to go to the source of the fire. And that is how ignorance will be removed. And they talk about the sun, Aditya Vat Jnanam. So what is the sun? And, you know, we wake up nowadays, this week, it is very cloudy. So we haven't seen the sun all week. And we say, oh, the sun is covered by the clouds. The sun is 93 million miles away, is illumining the entire solar system and even beyond. And this little cloud that is surrounding is only in California. In the Midwest, maybe there is no cloud in other countries. So how can the cloud cover the sun? Cloud cannot cover the sun. Cloud covers my vision. So I don't see the sun because the sun is all pervading, illumining millions of miles, all powerful. So same way, this ego, this perceiver, feeler, and thinker, and these vasanas cover God's presence within. And we say, oh, I don't see God. Have you seen God? Where is God? But when we turn inward, then we realize that God is always with us. But our problem is that we don't have time because I am so busy in the world. Marne ki bhi fursat nahi. I don't even have time to die. You know, those kind of phrases we use. I am so busy. I'm working this, I'm working that, doing this, do that all the time. And as long as we are busy in the world, we will not find God within. So they say, take some time off and sit in silence, which we do in meditation in the morning, but also maybe at night before going to bed, or during the day when you have some time, just sit in silence and feel God's presence within. Because of the divinity, I'm able to walk, talk, function, all that. And without finding God within, you will not find God outside. There is a beautiful line. It says, "Bina aap chine par brahm ho, par brahm ko, kaun kahe main jaano?" If you want to know God outside, the par brahma, the supreme Brahman, know who you are. Bina aap chine, without knowing yourself, you are not able to see God everywhere. And that's what we do even when we do the aarti, na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam, mema vidyuto bhanti kuto yam agnihi, tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam, tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. He says, "Oh God, where you are, that highest state of awareness, that is called Paramdham, the supreme state, the sun and the moon cannot reach there. The light of the sun and the moon cannot illumine that. Even the lightning, which is so powerful, cannot reach to your abode. How about this little fire that I'm showing? How can this reach you?" So he says, "I understand this cannot reach, but the reason we are lighting this fire is to tell everyone and tell myself that it is because of your light that this light is lit. The sun, the moon, the lightning, and this little light that I'm showing, it is your light alone that is shining. Not only that is shining, but all of us are working because of that light of consciousness." So when we do the aarti and when we chant this, it should not be done mechanically, na tatra suryo bhati, and we finish it quickly. But I should understand that I am doing this aarti to remind me that there is one supreme source of light, consciousness, and that alone illumines me and this whole world, all animals, birds, plants, fish, all fire, sun, moon, stars. And that I have to find that within. So when we do that, then doing this aarti becomes a prayer instead of just mechanically the prayer with understanding. And this knowledge, we say, "Oh, when I'm in the class, it is very clear." But then we go out and the knowledge disappears. Then I get so busy, I forget. So they say, how do we make this knowledge firm? By constantly seeing God in people and serving people as though I'm serving God. So that's karma yoga, doing some bhakti, sitting down in front of the Lord and doing some puja, chanting the Lord's name, some mantras. And with this knowledge, studying the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads. And then this knowledge stays within, which otherwise very quickly gets lost. Everybody's condition. While we are reading, the knowledge is very clear. But how can I make this knowledge my own? First of all, by clearly understanding the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, and by abiding in this knowledge. And then Bhagwan cannot be known, but Bhagwan reveals himself. We cannot know Bhagwan. Bhagwan reveals himself, which is ever shining. There is this story, you might have heard of this Mahatma who lived deep in a cave where the sunlight never used to penetrate. They used to use candles. And he had a two or three, four disciples, and they used to stay in that cave. And one morning, the Mahatma wakes up and tells his disciple, "Can you go out and see if the sun has come, if it is morning?" So the disciple takes a flashlight. He says, "Why are you taking flashlight?" He says, "I'm taking a flashlight to see if the sun has come out or not." But that is foolishness. So same way, you and I, cannot find the self because we are just using words, just using knowledge. But in our awareness, when our mind becomes still, then just as the sun is always illumined in the sky, you don't need a flashlight. So same with this body, mind, and intellect cannot by itself know God. But when our mind is still, when our knowledge is clear, when we have done enough bhakti, Bhagwan reveals himself. So in meditation, in awareness, so when you talk to Mahatmas, they say that the Lord revealed himself. I cannot know it by my effort. Yes, my effort will take me to a point where then I wait. And as I wait, slowly Bhagwan will reveal this knowledge to us, reveal this. So that's what Bhagwan says. Prakashayati tat param. So this knowledge reveals itself, reveals the supreme truth. You and I cannot know it with our own effort. Does not mean we don't put the effort. We put all the effort. And then the final step is done by Bhagwan when we become deserving, when we are qualified. So this is a beautiful shloka which tells us exactly where this knowledge is and how to reach it. Now the 17th shloka talks about the man of wisdom. What is the connection of this wise person with that? That means that Bhagwan, the Atma, the consciousness, the self, what is my connection with that? But mainly of the wise person. And the idea of this wise person is again not to glorify, oh, there is this wise Mahatma, Pujya Gurudev, or Shankaracharya ji, or, you know, Swami Ishwarananda ji. It is to, for me to follow that and reach that same goal that they have reached. So this is a guide for us. So this shloka is a very beautiful guide about how to reach that state. So number 17, tad buddhayas tad atmanah. Tannishthas tat parayanah.
Tannishthas tat parayanah.
Gacchantya punaravrit. Jnana Nirdhuta Kalmashaha. Tad Buddhayastadatmanaha. Tannishthastat Parayanaha. Gacchantya Punaravrittim. Jnana Nirdhuta Kalmashaha. So, Jnana, last line, Jnana Nirdhuta Kalmashaha. So, by knowledge, Nirdhuta is washed all their sins, Kalmashaha. So, so here, this is all in the plural. So, those wise people whose ignorance is washed away, cleaned with this knowledge, all their ignorance and their sins. Kalmasha means all their sins. And what happens to them? So tad buddhaya. So their intellect is always absorbed in that. If we can just close the door. Their intellect is always absorbed in that. That means we always think of God as that God somewhere, that Brahman, that Atman. We have this idea that that is far away. So again, you know, there is in Upanishad, Tattvamasi, that thou art. So what it means is God is not only that who is far away, but that you are, God is also near. So near and far, everywhere is that. But here he says that consciousness, their intellect is always in that, absorbed in that. Tat Atmanah, and their self. They say that Bhagwan is, that's my own self, my own nature, that I am. And tan nishtha, and they abide in this knowledge. They never forget that. And tat parayanaha, and that is their goal. So their understanding is that they are the self, they abide in that, and that is also throughout their life, their goal. And one who has done these four things, That's why they say these four are very power-packed instructions. They are not just Bhagavan has just, Sri Krishna has just randomly put them, but that this understanding that I am that, and that abiding in that knowledge and making that their goal is their purpose in life. And what happens to them? Gachanti apunaravrittim. And where do they go? Apunaravrittim, not coming back, not coming back from this ignorance. And jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha, whose sins have been destroyed by knowledge. So we understand that that Bhagwan, that Paramatma, that consciousness, I am, and that becomes their I notion. See, you and I, when we say I, we always think of I am a man, I am a woman. Even when I'm dreaming, a man will dream he's a man. He's not going to dream that he's a woman, and a woman will dream that I am a woman. So our so strong I notion is identification is with that I notion that I am this man, this woman, this limited ego. Not only that, but our identification also goes to our children. I am in that child. You know, it is such a strong identification that this child is me, you know, and if this somebody praises the child, oh, child is doing very well. Ah, you know, I have done such a great job. And somebody says, your child is useless. He doesn't study. He's no good in the class. Immediately we get so hurt, you know. Oh, how dare he criticize my child? So we extend that to I am this child also. But the thing is, the child, there is only so much we can do. What we can do is provide a good atmosphere for the child, provide him the right knowledge, give them the right wisdom, the right values, you know, at home, and then, you know, what we do in Bal Vihar and all. So we can provide the right knowledge, the right wisdom, the right values. Ultimately, the child has to live his or her own life based on their vasanas, based on their karmas. So we can help to some extent, but if I think that I can change the child's destiny, then we are mistaken. So even with the children, we should have the idea this is Bhagwan's child, has been given to me for a few years. I am a caretaker. I don't own the child. And once they go to college, you know, that's good. When they call, you talk. When they need help, you help. But do not get so attached. They have known of, there's one lady I know who actually left her home and moved where the daughter was in college and took an apartment over there, left her husband, and she was living there because my daughter. So that is extreme attachment. You know, she's in college, let her enjoy her life. So that's how we get so attached to this, to our children, our things, you know, our possessions, our car, my house, my jewelry, my wealth, my, you know, all these things we get so attached that we forget that there is God who is shining, ever shining. In the previous shloka also we saw that it is that consciousness that is constantly illumining my body, mind, and intellect, and has given me. So constant remembrance of God, constant gratitude towards God. Thank you for giving me this knowledge. Thank you for giving me this child. Thank you. In this country, we have so many comforts, so many pleasures. You know, we can buy anything we want. We have to be grateful to Bhagwan constantly. And remember that that alone is shining, as we have said in the previous shloka, tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. It is because of that God's presence that this whole world is shining, everything is functioning. But we have so much dirt of ignorance, dirt of selfishness, greed, jealousy that is covering our mind, and that dirt needs to be washed. So, you know, nirdhuta, you know, dhuta means dhona, you know, in Hindi, Gujarati, they say dhona. So, dhut means washed. So, nowadays, of course, they don't have that. We have washing machines and we have Tide and all that. But in the olden days, we used to give our clothes to the dhobi. You know, when the clothes get very dirty, the dhobi comes every once a week, collects all our clothes for the whole week, takes them to the river, and there with the soap he puts, and then he hammers the clothes on the rock and rubs it roughly. Then only the clothes become clean, because especially in India, there is so much dust and dirt and all. So the clothes need to be beaten, you know, by the washerman to wash, to clean the clothes. So you and I, when do we remember God? When we are beaten by the world. When the world beats us, when we have problem, then we say, oh God, why am I getting this problem? What did I do? I didn't do anything. Every day I go and do puja, and I even put, you know, last month I put $11 in your temple hundi, and why am I suffering? So our ignorance has to be washed with the problems of the world. That's why Kunti, Pandava's mother, she said, God, give me sorrow, Bhagwan Shri Krishna, because only when I have sorrow, I remember you. When I have joy, I don't remember. And Kabir Das Ji also says, Sukh mein sumiran sab kare, dukh mein kare na koi. To sukh mein sumiran kare, cho dukh kahe ko hoy. We always remember God only when we are suffering, not in joy. But if you remember Him in joy, you will never have sorrow. So a wise person roams through life, and problems will come. You know, somebody will praise him, somebody will criticize him, but he's always established in his glory. Actually, in Vivek Chudamani, Shankaracharya Ji uses very strong language. He says, a wise man is like a buffalo. He said, wise man, yeah, he actually says that. Wise man is like a buffalo. He says, why? He says, you know, buffalo, he's walking through the town. Whether you put a garland of flowers on his neck or garland of chappals, to the buffalo, it doesn't make any difference. So he said, but why are you comparing the wise man to a buffalo? He says, wise man is like that. He knows today somebody is giving me flowers, tomorrow they will give me chappals. Today somebody is praising me, tomorrow I'll get sorrow and suffering. So he said, never it happens that throughout life things will always go well. Some days well, some days not well. So wise person is so established in his truth that to him it makes no difference. It doesn't mean that, I mean, it's not that he gets overjoyed when somebody praises him or over depressed. Yeah, he knows, okay, this is good, this is bad. He's not like a stone, but in his mind he is not affected by. So it's a very powerful example, you know, when you think about it, you know, that the man of wisdom, he walks around through the world. He says, "Theek hai," and we find in these Mahatmas, some of them were so badly treated. Mirabai, Narsingh Mehta, you know, Tukaram, Sant Gyaneshwar, how much suffering Jesus, how many problems they had, but they never lost touch with their true self. And also another point is this, that this not, abidance that this will happen is in this life itself. They are abiding in this knowledge, and the goal is this life in now, not in some future life, not five lifetimes from now. In this life itself, I want to know that truth. So that is their goal, that is their purpose, and they always abide in this knowledge. So Parayana, you know, that is their goal, that is their purpose. So like when we are fasting all day, what is our goal? Anna Parayana. When will I finish my fast? When can I eat? We are constantly thinking. But same way, this wise person is constantly thinking, and for him or her, his goal of realization, goal of self-abidance is always there with him or her until they finally reach that. And then such a person, apunaravrittim, they do not go through birth and death. They do not take another birth. You and I, we take another birth because our mind and intellect, we have still a lot of desires when we give up this body. If you have a lot of desires, a lot of vasanas which are unfulfilled, then you will take another birth to to go through them. But these wise people, they have all their vasanas have been burnt. That's what nirdhuta kalmasha. Kalmasha also means their vasanas, all their negativities are destroyed. And such a person does not take another birth. We say, yeah, but who knows about other birth coming or not? So they say, no, but tan nishtha. But they, in this life itself, reach that. That's why they are called jivan mukta. The jivan mukta means in this life itself, you will reach. Of course, they talk about krama mukti, where you go to Brahma Loka and learn, or Videha Mukti, where after death. But Bhagavad Gita says and Upanishad says, Mukti is only in this life itself. We don't know next life, what will happen, what happens after death. Has anybody come back and told us? Yeah, the scriptures talk about it. But instead of looking for some goal somewhere else, after birth or after death or next life, right now, here itself, I should have the nishtha. I should have abidance in that self and atmanaha, and find God within the self, within the I. And that is the goal of this such a person. And once his ignorance has been destroyed, as we said, with the like the light of the sun removes darkness. So same with the light of the self, which Bhagwan has revealed to us in the Bhagavad Gita. It is Bhagwan's own words that are in this Bhagavad Gita, his mouth itself, he has revealed this knowledge, so that darkness of ignorance goes away and this person lives with that understanding. Apunaravrittim, one meaning is he does not have another birth. Apunaravrittim means once who has this knowledge, he does not go back to ignorance. He does not go back. Once he knows I am that, knows me not intellectually, but abiding in that knowledge. It's like I learned in kindergarten, 2 plus 2 is 4. Now in 8th grade, you ask him 2 plus 2, he will know 4. Even when he's doing PhD in mathematics, you ask him how much is 2 plus 2, 4. He will never forget. Why? Because that knowledge he has made his own. So similarly, men of wisdom make this knowledge their own knowledge, then they no longer go back to that path of ignorance of who am I, and their understanding is very, very clear, and the whole life, they live with that understanding. So apunaravritti means they do not go back to this world of ignorance. But today, the last verse is very, very beautiful. Very, very powerful verse, number 18. Again, how this man of wisdom, or here be plural, how men of wisdom, how they live in the world. Men, of course, means men and women, but wise people. So number 18. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne.
Vidya Vinaya Sampanne.
Brahmane Gavi Hastini.
Brahmane Gavi Hastini.
Shuni Chaivashvapakecha.
Shuni Chaivashvapakecha.
Pandita Samadarshinaha.
Pandita Samadarshinaha.
Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chaivashvapakecha Pandita Samadarshinaha. So the last section, Panditaha Samadarshinaha. Who are these pandits? We'll talk about that. Pandit means the wise people. Samadarshina, they see the same. Samadarshi, they see the same in all. Same in all, what do we mean by same in all? So Bhagwan has given us very beautiful example. So one is Vidya Vinaya Sampanne. Sampanne means endowed with Vidya and Vinaya. Vidya means knowledge, Vinaya means humility. Sampanne Brahmane. So in a Brahman, who has knowledge and humility in full measure. So that is one. So Brahman. Second is in a cow. Third is in an elephant. Fourth is in a dog. And also in the dog eater, so five different examples Bhagwan has given, that this wise person, Samadarshina, says he's the same in all. He says, same in all? Yes, he sees the same in all, a Brahman who has knowledge and humility, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and even a dog eater. So why these examples Bhagwan has given us? So Panditaha, Panditaha means wise person. But in India, the word Pandit is used very liberally. You know, they call anybody Pandit. Like they go to a pawn shop. Do paan lagana Pandit. They will tell the paan wala, Pandit ji, do paan lagao. Or even the cook in the house, they will call him Pandit or Maharaj. Or, you know, so, or any, just talking to her, Pandit kya haal hai? No, Pandit here means a person who has understood this knowledge. In fact, Bhagwan starts his teaching in the second chapter with Ashochyan Anvashochastvam, Prajna Vadamscha Bhashase, Gatasuna Gatasuchcha, Na Anushochanti Panditaha. So Panditaha here means the man of wisdom who sees that there are, in this world, there are two kinds of people, Gatasun, Agatasun, those who have gone and those who are not yet gone. And he says there is no need to mourn excessively. Yes, you feel some sorrow. That's why we read that at death. Yeah, you feel some sorrow, grief, but then you don't keep on mourning because you know, jo aaya hai wo jayega. So wise person sees this world. So same way here, a wise people see the same in Brahmin. So Brahmin here does not mean a Brahmin caste who wears a thread and all. Brahmin means whose mind is always in Brahman. Brahmani charati, whose mind is always. It's not a caste. It could be a Shudra, it could be a Vaishya, it could be a Kshatriya. In fact, those castes were made for functional purposes, not to be made by birth. So here a Brahmin is one who has Vidya, who has Atma Vidya, who has the highest knowledge of who am I. Not only mechanically knowing, but also abide in this knowledge. And Vinaya Sampanne, and knowledge along with humility. See, problem with knowledge is it gives us arrogance. Oh, I know so much. I know more than all these people. I can give talks. I have done PhD in Sanskrit. I can talk on Upanishads. So it gives us arrogance. But Bhagwan says the highest is the Brahman, means who abides in this knowledge, is one with God, has the true knowledge and has humility, does not have arrogance, does not have pride. So that is the best individual you can think of. Then cow. Why Bhagwan is using cow? Because cow is a very sattvic animal among all the animals. She's very soft, very gentle. She doesn't hit anybody who is not violent. And she served throughout her life. She gives milk. She gives birth to the bull. And the bull is used in agriculture, you know. So throughout her life. And even after death, cow is so useful. Her skin is used to make leather. Her horns, you know, her nails. Every part of the body, you know, is used after death also. So the cow not only serves us while alive. So that's why cow is worshipped. In India, we say Go Mata. You know, we worship cow. So that's why Bhagwan is used cow as the sattvic animal. Why elephant? Elephant is a slow moving, so tamasic animal. Dhire, dhire, slowly, slowly. So that means all animals Bhagwan has included. And dog in the middle is somewhere in between. He's not sattvic like a cow. He's not slow moving like an elephant. So he has used all. That means all creatures, basically, by listing these, all creatures, birds, animals, plants, fish, all of them. And why dog eater? Now that is the last one. Dog eater is probably one of the worst kind of human because say your child loves a dog, right? And has been taking care of the dog for many years and the child goes to college and you don't like the dog. So you call the dog and you kill him and eat the meat. How low that person would be. So that's why he says, Shwapake, one who cooks the dog and eats is the lowest. So from the highest to the lowest and all the creatures in between, Panditaha samadarshinaha. They see the one. How can you see one in all of these? But they say because they don't focus on the body, but they focus on the Atma, the self. There is one Atma, one consciousness in all of them. There is only one. And that Bhagwan is equally there in all. And that is how this wise person looks. And how does he deal with them? So he says in the path of Dharma, he deals people appropriately, like there is a judge who is judging. And there may be, and he doesn't judge based on race. Oh, this person is of so race, he must be a criminal. No, and two people come to him, he doesn't say, oh, both are guilty or both are, you know, not guilty, innocent. He finds out of them two, one is guilty, one is innocent. So he doesn't punish both. He punishes the guilty and lets the innocent go. But he knows that actually, you know, there is one consciousness between them. So he does not distinguish based on appearance. And the path of bhakti is the same thing, that my God, my beloved Lord, who has created me, has created all of these people, animals, birds, plants, fish. So the person has spontaneous love that they are all my Bhagwan has created and the one who has created me. So he sees no difference. And even among the wicked people, you know, that God alone has created. Why this person is wicked? Because of his vasanas, because of his wrong karmas. But inside he sees the oneness, and that only can come through knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, then you will distinguish, I like this person, I don't like this person. But a wise person goes beyond raga, dvesha, Bhagwan. Again and again in the Bhagavad Gita, talks about the raga, dvesha, likes and dislikes, and how to go beyond it. And the example of seeing oneness is, you know, cookies, you know, childhood. Children have these animal cookies, these sweet cookies, and there is a tiger, and there is a camel, and there is a snake, and a frog, and horse. And the children start fighting. I want horse. He said, no, I want tiger. I don't want alligator. I don't want... And they fight with each other. And but the dad who is sitting there, he's watching TV. He just eats the cookie as they come. Whichever one, jo bhi haath mein aata hai, he eats it. Why? Because he sees the dough, cookie dough in all of them. So same way you and I, we focus on this externality and forget the essence. And that's why they say focus on the essence. Then you will see God in everybody. And that is just as the cookie dough is the same, whether it's tiger, elephant, cow, anything, there is only one cookie dough. I heard a very beautiful story about Goenka Ji, Jayadeyal Goenka. He's a very, very powerful individual. He was a teacher of spirituality. He used to give talks and all. He had studied himself a lot. And he found that the people who came didn't have books, couldn't afford to buy books. Books were so expensive. He would give talks on Bhagavad Gita. Nobody in the class would have Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads and all. So he said, of course, there was a wealthy family. He said, I'm going to fix this problem. So he made Gita Press. I think some of you may have heard of Gita Press, where his goal was that everything should be cheap. You know, big, big books he will sell for 10 rupees, 50 rupees, 20 rupees, one rupee, you know, little books, and that doesn't even cover the cost of production. He said, just mass, give it to people. He never made any profit from it. His idea was, so from Gita Press, you can buy anything, any Upanishads, all the books, even big, big volumes. Nowadays, of course, maybe 20 to 50 rupees, maximum 100 rupees. But people, he made sure that people could afford to get these books. And his own money he put in there, and he published them. The Gita Press is now so famous. They make books in all the languages and all the scriptural textbooks. And there's an interesting story about him. So his son, Anant, go and come, or his nephew, not his son, his nephew. So Jayadeyal Goenkaji, the uncle, had invited a Mahatma to his house for a bhiksha. He said, "Mahatma ji, you please come tomorrow and have bhiksha in my house." So he sends his nephew, take the car and go bring, you know, Mahatma ji and for bhiksha and bring him respectfully. So the nephew takes the car and he goes, and the Mahatma doesn't get in the car. He says, "Okay, you are feeding me today, but who will feed me tomorrow?" "I don't know who will feed you tomorrow." He said, "Go find out." So Mahatma doesn't get in the car. So this poor guy goes back home and he asks his uncle, Jayadeyal ji. He says, "Mahatma is not coming." He said, "Why?" He says, "He wants to know who will feed me tomorrow." So Goenka ji says, "Go tell him, the Mahatma, that whoever fed you yesterday is feeding you today and will feed you tomorrow. It's not you or me. That one who has always fed you is feeding and will feed you in the future." That's the answer Mahatma was looking for. So when the nephew goes back, Mahatma says, "Yes, now I will come to your house for lunch." So the point is that the wise people, their whole life is spent in service because they have the right understanding that Bhagwan is doing all this. He never thought, "I am a great publisher. I am doing so much good for society. I am helping so many people." So the wisdom can come only through right understanding. So that's why they are called Samadarshi. There is a bhajan for Bhagwan Sri Krishna. Samadarshi hai naam tiharo. You know, so you are the one who sees one everybody. Now, Samadarshi is good, but it does not mean he is Samavarti. A person, wise person, may be Samadarshi, but not Samavarti. So, for example, as we said, a judge, there's one criminal who comes and one honest person, both have been caught by the police. He sees one that they are both human beings, but he knows one is a criminal, needs to be punished. Innocent person needs to be let go. Like in a company, there is a CEO, you know, who has been working for many years in the company and slowly rose up from, you know, beginning up to vice president, up to CEO. And there is a new hire just graduated from college. He has just been hired. Now, Samadarshi means, will you give them both the same salary? No. The CEO gets a much better salary. He will get a big corner office and the fresh graduate will get a desk. So even though they are both, but you treat people based on their ability. You know, not that you look down upon the fresh graduate, but you deal with them based on their abilities, based on their... So same way, this wise person, he may see oneness everywhere, but in their dealings, with situations, one will distinguish based on qualities, based on actions, based on where they are. So for example, in this wise person's case, now suppose a Brahman comes to his house. Brahman means one who is educated, has the highest knowledge, is so humble. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane. So if such a Brahman, a wise person comes, he will, you know, welcome him, wash his feet and offer him a chair and then, you know, feed him nicely, you know, maybe even do some puja for that person. Welcome him with respect. But suppose a dog comes, will he do that to the dog, bow down and touch the dog's feet and put flowers? No. Dog comes, he will give him some roti bread and let him go. But he will see God in both. In that wise person and in that dog, he will see one. But he treats them according to the situation without forgetting that my Bhagwan is in both. So that is called that he's Samadarshi, but not Samavarti. You in this world, we cannot, you know, we cannot. It's like you go to a restaurant and there is good food and then there is food that is bad. You know, that became bad or was poorly cooked or was green. You're not going to eat that. You're not Samavarti. So, they are all food made by Bhagwan, so let me eat. No, food that is fresh, you will eat. food that is spoiled, you will not eat. So same way, that is very important because people forget that. They think that, oh, this person has is blind, he has no wisdom. He has wisdom. He has no raga dvesha, no specific extra love for somebody or no extra hatred for somebody. But he sees that there is one consciousness, but treats people according to their situations. So that is what this shloka goes. They see God in all, but then deal with people according to that. Not that you discriminate, okay, no, but they don't discriminate based on color or anything, but on their abilities. Obviously, you will give a job, you know, there is a beginner mechanic and there is an advanced, you know, aircraft engineer. Now, if the plane needs to be fixed, there's a problem, you will give to the advanced engineer, the one who has just joined the job last week. They're not going to tell him, go ahead and fix the plane. So same way, even though they are all, ultimately this person will graduate and become an aircraft engineer. So that is the idea, that this wise person sees God in all and has no hatred, has love for all, spontaneous. So today we have studied about how knowledge can be can destroy our ignorance, just as the sun destroys darkness. And a wise person always established in this knowledge and makes this knowledge his goal. And then this person, once enlightened, never comes back to this world of ignorance. So we'll end here. We have about 10, 12, 13 minutes. So anybody has any questions, comments, or would like to add, please feel free to do that. Yeah, we have some on Zoom also. Go ahead. Yeah, sure.
This is not working.
Oh, that's probably working too, yeah.
Hello? Is it working?
Yeah, turn it on. Working. Huh? It's working?
It's working.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Oh, you can use this. May not. Is it turned on? Go ahead. You can use that.
Hari Om.
Hello. Hello.
This is Krishna.
Oh, here, I think.
Thank you very much.
Hari Om.
And thank you very much, Anilji. Beautiful talk. Chapter 5, 16, what I learned today is the people whose ignorance is dispelled or removed by knowledge, and that knowledge reveals the Supreme, like how the sun illuminates everything. Then 17, the people whose mind is fixed on the Supreme and are dedicated and surrendered to the divine, purified by the knowledge, will reach a state of no return, that is liberation. Then the 18 is the wise sees everybody the same, that is the learned scholar, cow, elephant, dog, and even the people who were eating the dog's flesh. So this is what I learned today. And in fact, I myself, when I was walking inside, I just was reading on the board. Just a second, I was reading that, you know, normal people look at the stars, but the wise people look at what powers the stars.
Yes.
So the wisdom. And also, you know, one of the things which you mentioned, Anilji, is, you know, I don't know whether it's human mind, my mind, or people's mind, but what you said is very much like, you know, when blows of life are there, I always remember God in so much that when I'm normal, when I'm joyful, when I have everything, that remembrance is not there. It looks like, you know, sometimes I used to, like when I was just thinking, when you're saying buffalo, you know, I would rather have that buffalo's mindset, you know, no matter you have a chapel in your or a garland, doesn't matter. You're like Stitha Pratna, you're the same. And rather than being a rat's mind, you know, where when something is really challenging outside, running away inside to comfort and then not coming out, you know. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Carrie, you have a question? Go ahead.
Yes, I have one, two questions. The first one is kind of quick. I was just wondering if the Goenka that you were talking about is that founded the Gita Press, if he's the same Goenka that founded the Vipassana meditation centers.
No, that is not him, but his in his family.
Okay.
N Goenka, different from Jayadeyal Goenka. But they are the same family, yes.
Okay.
Question.
Burmese.
Yeah, no, it's not Burmese. The Vipassana started in India and then went to the
Burma
by the Buddhists to the east.
Oh, I thought the Goenkas were Burmese. Okay. I had that wrong then. Then I was wondering if you could just kind of discuss the idea of the mind being like a mirror that that the consciousness, the Atman, shined through, was reflected in.
Yeah, so they say they say your mind is like a mirror, just as a mirror reflects whatever clothes you have, your face is clean or dirty. Same way, the mind is like a mirror which reflects your good and bad thoughts, your good and bad actions, all manifest in your thoughts and in your actions. So the mind is like a mirror. Just as a mirror will show you what you really are, so your mind will really have the good and bad thoughts based on your nature.
The Atman consciousness is reflected also.
No, Atman is not reflected. Atman doesn't do anything. Atman, you can say reflected in the sense, Atman illumines the body, mind, and intellect. But Atman is everywhere. Atman is in the mirror everywhere. Atman doesn't do anything. Atman has no qualities. Atman has no qualities. He's neither good nor bad. That's why Bhagwan last week, he said, I don't take the sin or the merits. Atman does not do anything, is the like the electricity, but Atman is required for the world to function, but Atman is not involved in the activities. Atman is not affected. It is the mind and intellect that get involved in our good and bad actions and thoughts. So vasanas, thoughts, good and bad, everything belongs to the BMI.
It seems maybe I've heard that before, though. Maybe some speakers say that consciousness, that the Atman is reflected in the mind. No?
Well, yeah, like the sun is reflected in the bucket of water, the Atman gives life to the mind and intellect. And because of that, the body, even though the word reflected is used, just as they have to give an example, just as the bucket of water is there, has no light, but when the sun shines, the water can reflect the light, not the bucket. The bucket gets lit up. So same way, the BMI does not, the body does not have the ability to reflect consciousness. Consciousness reflected is Chidabhasa, it is called, which is the source of illumination, source of light you can say, but itself doesn't do anything. All these examples are meant for us to understand, but in essence, what we have to understand what Atma is. Some people take Chidabhas as Atma, as consciousness. Chidabhas is the consciousness within the mind and intellect.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody in the hall? Yeah, Komal, you have a comment or question?
No, I was just going to tell what she's saying. I think just responding to Carrie, I think as far as the shloka is concerned, the mirror, it was just an example that you were saying that you, when you look in the mirror and when the person was taken into the room, and was revealed in front of the mirror, you see yourself, and that's the Brahman is there because the Brahman is in you. So when you see yourself in the mirror, you're seeing the Brahman, the image of Brahman there. So I think that was the example in the that you were giving.
Right.
As far as the, I think Chitta Shuddhi is what they are talking about when they are saying about the cloud that is covering the sun. And when our mind is pure and clean, when that cloud of ignorance is gone, the sun reveals itself and the Brahman reveals itself. And I think there was a, somebody had circulated a minute or two talk by Swamiji. I don't remember his name, but he said that in one word, if we were to say how to, what's the main way of achieving liberation is Chitta Shuddhi. So because just the purification of mind, that simple one phrase involves so many things. So that, I think that one thing can lead you.
Thank you. No, that's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, now Chidabhas is said to be reflection of consciousness. So they use the word reflection for something to for us to understand. But actually, there is no reflection. Actually, there is no world. The world at the absolute level, there is no world. At the level of Atma, this world is an illusion. It is you and I who think this world is real. So that's why it says, na kinchit karomi. Bhagavan says, I don't do anything. I don't take part in the merits. I don't take part in the sin. I don't even give karma phala to everybody. But swabhava, you know, so he has made this world and then let the world take care of itself.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any comments? On Zoom, anybody has any question?
One answer to her thing about Goenkaji, because for Vipassana, I know he's not Burmese. That family is of Indian origin, but they were doing business. They are business owners. It's a business family, and they did business in Burma, and so that's why people associate that. But they are of Indian origin. But they were business owners.
Thank you. And Gita Press is in Gorakhpur. It is in UP. Gita Press is in UP. Thank you. Okay, we can end. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Asatoma Satkamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Vrityorma Amritam Gamaya. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om. Thank you very much. Hari Om.